This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
No, they're not in. I don't care if they got a strength of schedule of six, like somebody tweeted us earlier. Strength of schedule of six is great, but not if you lose in those games. Well, we should get in. We have a strength of schedule of six. Yeah, but you lost most of them. Well, still, we played them. That doesn't have anything to do with it.
Well, let's see what our man Travis Ryer has to say about it. He joins us on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline here on this Tuesday. Travis, good morning, sir. Hope you're doing well.
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Trying to figure this all out. Appraise Alabama's position for a potential NCAA tournament bid as they head to St. Louis. Travis, what do you think?
I think they need a couple wins to get in to the NCAA tournament, minimum. I don't think that they can go out there and certainly drop the second round game to A&M and feel like they have really any legitimate argument to an NCAA tournament at-large bid. I think even with just one win, it's going to be hard to get up there with a straight face and sort of make your case for a spot in the big dance. I think they need two. I think they need to beat Texas A&M and then knock off Auburn in a quarterfinal game. If those two things happen, those two wins come about, then I think Avery, regardless of what happens in the semifinal round, which you would think would be Kentucky at that point, would again, with a sense of legitimacy, be able to make some kind of case for his team.
Yeah, and Travis, I think it's right there for Alabama. It's laid out perfectly. You get a chance to redeem yourself from a loss less than a week ago in College Station. If you win that game, you go up against your in-state rival. You could take two or three against them. One of the hottest teams in all of college basketball. Yeah, I think Alabama can play themselves into the tournament with two wins. If not, get ready to host an NIT game.
I don't think there's much doubt about that at this point. I heard Barry saying, you can't, you just can't make any type of case on a six-game losing streak, coming out of the SEC tournament. There is no case to be made in that scenario. And so, yeah, you're right. I agree. I think that the path is there. It's one of those rare years of late in the Southeastern Conference where the league tournament can actually help you in most years. In the last probably seven or eight or so, it's been a situation where if you were in Alabama's situation right now, you would probably be more in needing to win the tournament and get the automatic bid to make the NCAAs. But this year, with the league being as strong as it is, the opportunities are there. There's no doubt about it. With A&M and Auburn sitting there in the first couple of rounds, if you can get through them.
Travis, has there been a glaring, obvious, common factor in Alabama's play in the leading to the five-game losing streak?
Well, it seems like we say it year in and year out, but they don't shoot the basketball particularly well. And they were fortunate Saturday in that they ran up on an A&M team that was just as ineffective in that regard. Alabama, 5 of 24 from 3, but A&M, gracious host that they are, 4 of 21 from beyond the arc. So, in a lot of ways, it set up pretty well for them. But, connectivity is a word I continue to use with this team, or lack thereof. At this point in the season, in the first half of the year, you kind of got it. There were injuries. There was Braxton Key coming in late after his knee injury. The revolving door situation certainly didn't lend itself to continuity. But at the same time, after the wins over Tennessee and LSU in the dominant fashion in which they performed here in Tuscaloosa in those games, the sense wasn't that this is an NCAA tournament team. There was talk that this was a second weekend at the tournament, a team that could go a few, three, four rounds perhaps in the NCAA tournament. What happened at that point, I have no idea, because everything we're talking about with chemistry and coming together and all those things seem to be happening right in front of our eyes. And then just like that, and even the loss at Kentucky at the time didn't seem, you know, the kind of loss that would divide or fracture a team. Now you go to Lexington and you get beat. That's what happens typically. And they didn't play particularly poor in that game. But just from that point forward, you know, the start of the Auburn game was something I think you may go back and kind of point to, the way in which they did not really show up at all for that game. And from that point forward, to lose back-to-back home games from there, it just snowballed, and no one on that roster and no one on that coaching staff has had an answer.
Well, as I mentioned, with all of the bad fortune or bad play, however you want to describe it, it's right there in front of them. You win the next two, and you're in. And it's interesting that they've got an opportunity to get another shot at a team that they lost to less than a week ago. Then they'd have a shot at their in-state rival, who's getting a lot of run and a lot of hype, and certainly deservedly with the year that they've had. So, yeah, I mean, there's not much to say. It's there in front of them. They just got to take care of business. We'll see how it plays out in St. Louis with Alabama beginning on Thursday. Travis, what are you hearing from the NFL Combine? Obviously, there's a lot of Alabama, former Alabama players that are participating in it. I heard some thoughts. I saw some video of people like Calvin Ridley and Mika Fitzpatrick, certainly others up there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically been a four-day infomercial for Alabama football. Every time you flip it over to the NFL Network, there's somebody from Alabama running a 40 or doing the vertical or doing on-the-field work. So from the program standpoint, it's been invaluable once again to Nick Saban. And also the matter in which it is circulated and recirculated on social media. But as far as the guys themselves that went up there, I wouldn't say that anybody hurt themselves with their performances. You had a couple of guys that maybe didn't run, and Rashawn Evans and Ronnie Harrison, but otherwise, yesterday, for instance, you had five defensive backs. Just in that position alone up there, and all those guys, Sands, Harrison, ran sub 4.5 in the 40. So, yeah, I would say it was a productive stretch for the Alabama contingent. There were some guys that probably had more room to move up than others. Guys like Deshaun Hand, he goes up there at 297 pounds and runs a 4.83 in the 40-yard dash. Had some really good numbers. So I would think for a guy like Hand, who's maybe a mid-round pick, maybe that helps him by a round or so. But the turnaround is so quick. It's really amazing how it all goes from the circus that is the combine, and they pack it up and pretty much move it to Tuscaloosa today, because tomorrow you're going to have pro day here at the University of Alabama. So the turnaround is pretty quick, and it'll be interesting from that standpoint to see exactly how many of the guys for Alabama that were in Indy and took part in most, if not all, the events up there participate in depth at Alabama's pro day tomorrow.
And I wanted to ask you about that, because you've covered a jillion of them, and you know the mechanism for how it all works. For instance, for a guy like Rashawn Evans, who didn't run at the combine, probably will run at pro day. Why not run at the combine? Why wait till pro day? Why would some of the guys who absolutely shined at the combine, why would they even get out there and dress out for pro day? With the approach to making your best case to being a high NFL draft pick, what are they looking at between the combine and the pro day, running, not running, working out, not working out? What are the dynamics there?
Yeah, I think for the defensive backs, it's going to be very interesting, because you just worked out yesterday in Indianapolis for the most part. So, you know, if you're Mika Fitzpatrick and you run a 4.47 on Monday, I got to think you're not running on Wednesday in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, exactly how much would Minka do tomorrow? That remains to be seen. I wouldn't think it would be a ton. Maybe it is. Minka's a competitor. Minka doesn't have any problem putting it out there. So maybe he does some on-the-field stuff tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. Guys like Ronnie Harrison had a slight issue, I believe, muscle issue. Maybe he does run tomorrow. You know, Rashawn Evans, he had the groin injury during the season. Maybe a case with him where he's just trying to make absolutely sure he's as ready to go as possible. There's a comfort level with a lot of these guys too. You know, it's a thing where, you know, they feel a little bit better about running on their home turf, so to speak. And so they wait to do that. I can tell you that, you know, with Rashawn especially, there's a lot of interest from the Pittsburgh Steelers, it seems like, at his spot. I know safety is also an area where the Steelers are looking. And so, you know, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers, is expected to be here tomorrow. And so Ronnie Harrison, you know, Rashawn Evans kind of fit a team like Pittsburgh's needs, and especially where they're going to pick in the first round. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting storylines and kind of things that go into it. But, tomorrow probably will be more about guys like Bradley Bozeman, Cam Sims, and some of the others that weren't in Indianapolis, more so than the ones that were.
Make a case. Yeah,
it seems it seems kind of close to the combine and then having pro day there in Tuscaloosa, but I guess they want to get it all done while everybody's thinking and on that mindset, I would think.
Yeah, and, you know, let's face it, you know, Alabama has year in and year out the most draftable guys in college football, so why not just go from the combine straight to Alabama to sort of get the run of pro days going.
Well, at this time of year, you know, people will ask Travis, hey, what do you think about the tournament? But they got to qualify themselves because very likely Travis will break down the ACC tournament. Quarterfinals tonight at Lawson State, the undefeated Shelton State Bucks. Second leading scorer Savannah Ryer brings them in undefeated at Lawson State tonight. I know Travis has taken off the media hat, got the dad hat on tonight.
Yeah, I'm actually already outside the Bright Star in downtown Bessemer. I'm gonna pregame here in the lounge, and then make our way over for that 7 o'clock tip. No, seriously, I appreciate the mention, Barry. It's a lot of fun. There's no doubt about it. You know, I think that Madonna Thompson, the head coach, the outstanding coach for the Lady Bucks, she got some needed ammo here in the last couple of days because that undefeated Mississippi State women's team went into that SEC tournament and lost to South Carolina in that championship game.
Yep.
So heavy is the head, right? It wears the crown. So we'll see how it goes.
All right, Travis, a couple of non-sports items to pass along. I was in Tuscaloosa last Thursday, caught a portion of your show. I take it you're not a Rocky III fan.
Nah, not a big Rocky III fan.
Clubber Lang, he just didn't do it for you.
Nah, I mean, it was okay. But 1 and 2, you know, especially 1.
Sure.
But, you know, if we're going to do boxing movies, it's Raging Bull for me. And I know that's biopic more than anything.
Yes, yes.
But it's as much as I love Rocky, I mean, it's a great, great flick. You know, there's nothing like De Niro and Pesci.
Yeah, it's good.
In Raging Bull.
Also, thumbs up to the Chicken Philly Wrap at Hooligans.
Nice.
I appreciate that little tidbit.
That's a really, really good spot. They just opened their third location out here a little closer to the Hacienda. So I've been just absolutely hammering it. If you're a connoisseur, by the way, a chicken salad, try that next time, too. The Chicken Salad Wrap. They do chicken salad the right way. It's not a fruit salad with chicken salad in it. It's not pecans and apples.
Half grapes.
Grapes and all that, okay? Uh-huh. It's not your wife's chicken salad. It's golf course chicken salad.
It's the fellas.
I like that.
It's at the turn. It's at the turn chicken salad before you go to the 10th tee chicken salad.
Put that on my list, and I've tried to – get across the last 2 days that the reason my voice sounds like it does is because all the pollen floating in the air. But really, the main reason is because There's something called Parents Weekend that the city of Tuscaloosa has got to be happy they have because they've got to be just printing money with all of the mamas and daddies that are in town over the weekend. But
there's only 50 of those weekends now in Tuscaloosa. So it's a really special time. Yeah. One of those 50 weekends that are parents' weekends now in Tuscaloosa.
John makes them lose money because he's two for the price of one. He's got two up there. Yeah. He doesn't have to make one trip for both of them. Before we get hammered by this, John referenced this. Your radio show, noon to two, weekdays in Tuscaloosa. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called Southern Fried Sports. And, you know, we do talk sports from time to time, but we just try to have a lot of fun. Obviously, a lot of SEC talk and, we're just trying to fill a couple hours here in West Central Alabama, but enjoy doing the show and, a lot of other good stuff on the station as well.
Tide1029.com is how you get that. BamaOnline.com is how you get his online thoughts concerning Alabama football. How do people access that, Travis?
Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way will get you to us.
Hey, as always, good luck tonight. And thanks, as always, for
appreciate
your time.
It.
We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Travis Ryer on our dream.